Thank you. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." When he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell at the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite any children who are here to come up and join me for the children's message. You want to think about it? Okay. Did you have another one you wanted to share?
Going on walks with him.
You go on walks with God? That sounds awesome. I want to be part of that. Well, I wanted to tell you one of the ways that I most know that God is with me. Do you guys want me to tell you how I know?
Yes.
Yes? You do want to know?
Yes.
It's when I get together with other people who know God. When I get together with people like you and people like them, because for me, it's really important to be around other people who know and can remind me that even when I feel like God might be far away or I can't see him, that other people remind me that God is with me all the time. I think that's kind of an important thing to do, because can I pray to God when I'm off by myself? Sure, I can, but it's almost better to pray with somebody. It's like you're preaching my sermon. I love it. Yeah. I think it's really important to have other people to lift us up in our faith. So I think that's kind of one of those things to remember as we go into, Are those for me?
No, they're my mini.
They're your mini ears? Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's important for us to remember that even though God is with us wherever we go, it's also really helpful to have other people lifting us up and praying with us and reminding us that God is with us. So thank you so much for coming up here. You can head back to your seats.
Please pray.
pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, on this day of transfiguration, we know that your majesty shone before your disciples. We pray that we would see your glory in the faces of each other, and our brothers and sisters in Christ, the church, as we lift each other up. In your name we pray. Amen. So as I mentioned, and as our scripture reading said, this is Transfiguration Sunday. So this is the day where Jesus goes up a mountaintop, and he shines, and his face glows, and the disciples around him want to build this beautiful tabernacle, this place of glory around him. And I don't know if you heard in the reading that Steve did, but there's also some other stories about going up on a mountaintop and having these mountaintop experiences, right, in our scriptures. We hear those today. And I realized that this Sunday also always coordinates either before, after, or during the time when our high schoolers take their winter retreat up a mountain. I was looking at some past sermons that I had done, and many of them said, well, this weekend, or last weekend, or next weekend, our youth are going to be up the mountain. I thought, well, that's kind of convenient that that always happens that way. So I was thinking about this mountaintop experience that these people had, that these disciples, Peter, James, and John, had. See, by this time, Peter, James, and John, they had experienced Jesus in his glowing divinity that they knew him to be. They had already learned from Jesus, and they understood him to be their Messiah. So when this amazing thing happens, it's as if they were able to say, this is the Messiah that I choose to follow. And immediately, what does Peter want to do? But he wants to build a tabernacle, a place of worship, to make the place where they were, that mountaintop where they were, as a holy ground, the holy ground that he understood it to be. And I think we do that too sometimes. I mean, how many times have we heard people say, or even perhaps ourselves, talk about feeling, you know, really feeling God in some sort of mountaintop experience, whether it's literally a mountaintop or not. And how often we want to harness that experience and bring it with us. Don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with taking time out of our lives to experience God fully. I mean, hey, this mountaintop experience gets its own Sunday. But the tabernacle, the church, the holy place that Peter and the other disciples wanted to build was where they started to go wrong. Because Jesus doesn't stay on that mountain. He doesn't stay up there glowing with the prophets of old, but Jesus comes down from the mountain and goes out teaching and preaching and living the good news every day. Because God doesn't just show up in our big life-changing moments. God doesn't just show up in the moments of profound faith or in miracles, but Jesus shows up in small ways, in the community that we have with one another. Now, I'm going to say something that might be wildly unpopular, but I think that having a personal relationship with Jesus is overrated. I don't think it's bad or something that we should get rid of, but I think talking about having a close personal relationship with Jesus as my Savior is overrated. I think it's one of the things that, especially as Americans, we talk about because Americans like to be self-reliant, and I can do this all on my own, and it's my relationship with Jesus that counts the most. But it's also who we are as a community that matters. Being part of a community of Christ to lift one another up matters. It's important throughout our history in our scriptures. It was not about individuals' belief in God, but it was about how the community responded to God. If we look at the Ten Commandments, we hear the story of Moses in that first lesson. He went up to get the Ten Commandments. You've heard of those? Maybe? Hopefully? Okay. There's 10 of them. About half of them are about how people interact with God. But the second half, you know what they all are? How to live in community with one another. Don't cheat your neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. If it's all about me and my relationship, what does my neighbor have to do with anything? A lot.
It means a lot. And I even think about Jesus talking about the greatest commandment. The first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second, have that close personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? No! It's love your neighbor as yourself. Communities of Christ matter. They matter because in times of our failing and in our faltering and in our doubt, we lift each other up. I know I've shared this story many times before, but inside the cover of my personal Bible that I use quite a bit, I have a postcard. I was maybe 15 years ago now, and I was serving as a youth minister. I was going through a time of struggle in my faith, a time when I didn't really know what God was up to or even where God was. I felt really distant from God. And all of a sudden, this postcard shows up in the mail about a month later when things had kind of righted themselves for whatever reason. Maybe I had done all the work and prayed really hard for myself, right? Well, no, this postcard showed up, and it said, "Today, the Deaconess community in Indiana kept you in prayer." This group of people who were gathering for worship, like four states over, had lifted me up in prayer. And I believe that there was something profound happening there when I was in a place of turmoil that others were carrying me. I mentioned that this transfiguration often happens at the same time as our youth retreats. And so often I think about correlating those. One of the best moments that I had last weekend up at Luther Glen, up on that mountaintop, was not some beautiful, glowing Jesus experience, but was a moment of honest vulnerability, of the young people sharing their struggles and doubts and realizing that this is why we come together as community. We carry each other when we can't feel God. And the most profound thing that I think I have said in a long time was to a young person who was struggling with doubt as to where God was. And does God even exist? And I didn't give this youth proof that God is real or that Jesus died for their sins, because this kid has heard that a million times before. But what I said was, that's okay. Because even in your doubt, you are named and claimed as a beloved child of God. So I will pray for you. I will pray for clarity for you. Because even if you can't see it now, I know how much Jesus loves you. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that. One of the things that happens quite often on these youth retreats, long before I was there, people make friendship bracelets, right? Those yarn bracelets with the tying strings and making knots. One young person made this one for me, and I have been wearing it since last weekend. And it used to be that people would make them, especially other teens, and they would want to give it to me, and I thought, oh, I don't really want to wear that, you know. I don't like having it on my wrist. It gets caught in my watch. I keep thinking it's a hair tie. It gets kind of grody after you wash it a few times and you're washing your hands. But I changed my thought process a couple of years ago. I heard a counselor who was out there who had a whole bunch of them, just gobs of them on her arms. And one student came up and said, oh, can you go over and wear this one too? She goes, sure, and tied it on. Her hands had at least a dozen of them. And I looked and I said, you must really like friendship bracelets. And she goes, I really like these. And she said, because when my hands are in prayer, I am also carrying all those youth in prayer with me. Maybe they're hurt. Maybe they're lost. Maybe they can't hear or see or believe in God. But I know that my prayers for them are heard by a God who is bigger than our doubts. So when I hold my hands in prayer and I look at all those bracelets on my wrists that I'm lifting them up to, those mountaintop experiences are great, but we can't stay up there because Jesus doesn't stay up there. He goes out into the world proclaiming a message of forgiveness and salvation to all, and he brings people along with him. And that's what the church is. Or at least that's what the church can be. It's not about having it all figured out. It's not about saying the right prayers or creeds to prove that you have a perfect faith. It's not about solidifying your own personal mission. Church is about coming together as people of God, relying on others to carry us when we feel weak and when we feel strong, when we are living in those mountaintop experiences, pointing out the brilliant light of Christ to those who so desperately need to see it. Amen.